and you need to have your fun.
Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
Jim Kweskin's heart has belonged to folk music for over 70 years.
My parents sent me away to a summer camp, and some of the counselors at the camp played the guitar and sang folk songs, and that's where I fell in love with folk music.
Kweskin was the founder of the Jim Kweskin Jug Band. In the 1960s, it was a big part of the folk revival, playing at Newport Folk Festival several times, and they also influenced bands like the Grateful Dead and the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. That's four or five times. A song from Kweskin's new album, Doing Things Right, with the Berlin Hall Saturday Night Review Band. Jim Kweskin joins me to talk about playing old songs with old friends and perhaps his most well-known performance on Sesame Street.
They just asked me. They had two songs they wanted me to record, the number 10 and the number 12, and I did. I recorded them both, and they end up using my recording of the number 12.
It's Jim Kweskin. Coming up, I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe.
KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. The body believed to be of a missing Cloquet man has been found north of Aiken. The Aiken County Sheriff's Office reports search and rescue personnel found the body on Monday after an extensive foot and air search. Drone images helped locate 64-year-old Daniel Joseph Lateral, who was first reported missing along with his significant other Jane Corpola in late May. Corpola's body was found last week near Lateral's SUV. His body was found in the same vicinity. The sheriff's office and Cloquet police are investigating. Authorities do not suspect foul play. A Kansas man drowned at Teteguch State Park on the 4th of July. The Lake County Sheriff's Office says just before 1 p.m., a man was reported underwater at Ilgen Falls. He had been under for about 10 minutes. 25-year-old Hurry Kirun Gaud Senagana from Overland Park, Kansas, was swimming with a group. Another in the group saw him struggling but was not able to help due to the depth of the water. Essentia Health will temporarily suspend services at three clinics if advanced practice providers strike as planned Thursday. The organization says closing the Emily, Hackensack, and Deerwood clinics would help consolidate staff where they can best meet patient needs. Advanced practice providers, or APPs, include nurse practitioners, physician assistants, certified nurse midwives, and clinical nurse specialists. Over 400 APPs across nearly 70 Essentia facilities in the Brainerd Lakes area, northeastern Minnesota, and northwest Wisconsin could strike. They say it's the only way to get Essentia's attention. APPs voted to unionize a year ago and say Essentia refuses to bargain. The healthcare organization is challenging the makeup of the bargaining unit because of its size and scale, noting the impact a work stoppage would have. Essentia says clinicians are reviewing patients with appointments at the impacted clinics. They will prioritize those with more severe needs. Governor Tim Walz signed an executive order on Tuesday to help provide disaster relief for veterans and their families in Beltrami County. The order authorizes the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to activate relief through the State Soldiers Assistance Program. Walz earlier declared a peacetime emergency in response to the severe storm that caused widespread damage in Bemidji and surrounding areas a little over 2 weeks ago. Assistance may help with housing, utilities, and other essential needs. There's also a new veteran-led nonprofit in town helping residents recover from the storm. Team Rubicon Volunteers, also known as Gray Shirts, have traveled from around the country to help with things like roof tarping, managing storm debris, and operating chainsaws. Volunteers are expected to spend the next 2 weeks helping. Team Rubicon Volunteers will wear distinctive gray shirts with their names written on the front and Team Rubicon printed on the front and back. These services are at no cost to the homeowner, city, or county. Find more information at our website, kaxe.org. The health maintenance organization UCARE will stop providing state-funded health coverage in 11 counties. Five are in northern Minnesota, including Crow Wing, Pennington, Roseau, St. Louis, and Wadena. The Minnesota Star Tribune reports that financial troubles at the organization are the motivation behind the change. About 88,000 people will need to switch Medicaid health plans by September. The nonprofit health insurer suffered big losses last year managing care in the Medicaid and Medicare Advantage programs. UCARE is one of the largest health insurers in the state. The insurer says the move is temporary and it will continue to manage Medicaid benefits for about 250,000 people. The Star Tribune says UCARE's financial troubles predate the reductions in Medicaid spending passed in the recent congressional budget bill. The Minnesota Department of Human Services says it will help enrollees transition to alternate health plans from Medica and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota. UCARE officials say they don't anticipate significant disruptions for patients because other insurers have comprehensive Medicaid networks in the affected counties. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Boffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920 with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo. Few people have done more to advance and celebrate folk music than Jim Queskin. At 84, he's been playing folk, jug music, and Americana for 70-plus years. He started the Jim Queskin Jug Band, a huge influence on the folk revival of the 60s, played Newport Folk Festival several times, and Queskin's band rubbed off on several upstarts of the time, including the Grateful Dead and the Lovin' Spoonful. Today, Jim joins me to talk about his new album, Doing Things Right, with the Berlin Hall Saturday Night Review Band. And we'll get a primer on the art of skiffling, a musical tradition that involves learning songs in the style of jazz, blues, and folk played on fiddles, washboards, and yeah, even jugs. Plus, Jim tells us about one of his most famous recordings, Ladybug's Picnic, which we all counted along with on Sesame Street. But first, our session gets underway with When I Grow Too Old to Dream. Here's Jim Queskin in the Berlin Hall Saturday Night Review Band on World Cafe.
Your love will live.
Jim Kweskin and the Berlin Hall Saturday Night Review. The song is When I Grow Too Old to Dream. It's from their new album, Doing Things Right. Jim Kweskin is my guest. I'm Kaleo. It's World Cafe. Jim, thanks for being here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
I had such a wonderful time with this record, this collection of songs, and I'd first like to put it to you. What did you want to set out to do with this album and this collection of songs?
Well, every album I make, I try to do something a little bit different. The previous one came out a couple of years ago, was more folky. This one is more like Western swing. It's got horns. And so I like to mix it up. And I there's some wonderful old kind of combination of country music and jazz, which was called Western swing back in the 30s and 40s, people like Bob Wills and Milton Brown. And we wanted to give it that feel to it.
The liner notes for the record talk about skiffling in the modern age. And I know for a certain subset of our audience, that might be a foreign language to them. Would you be willing to paint a little bit of a picture about this, you know, like great musical historical tradition that was prevalent in the United States and the United Kingdom? Can you talk a little bit about skiffling and what it is?
Well, first of all, skiffling is very similar to jug band music. And I've been playing jug band music my entire life. The way I look at it is playing old-time jazz and blues using harmonicas and fiddles and washtubs and washboards and kazoos. And it just blends all that together. And then you get skiffling. It's just like able to play, you know, pop tunes and jazz tunes and folk songs and blues songs and just from any different repertoire. You want to have a repertoire that covers as many different genres as, you know, and wherever the songs you like come from, that's what you do.
And you were a part of that tradition, yes?
Yeah, well, back in the 60s, I had a group called the Jim Kweskin Jug Band.
Of course.
And we were, you know, that's what we did. We played jug band music, you know, and we got it from the records that were recorded back in the 20s and 30, or early 30s. And we got all those songs from people like the Memphis Jug Band, the Dixieland Jug Blowers, the Gus Cannon's Jug Stompers, plus early jazz bands like McKinney's Cotton Pickers and Jelly Roll Morton's Red Hot Peppers and the early Louis Armstrong records that he made, you know, back in the 20s. So that's been my tradition all my life. You know, when I was a little kid, I listened a lot to, my father had a collection of old 78s, and people may not be familiar with them anymore, but that was the way to listen to records back, you know, starting in the early beginning of the 20th century. I listened to those records that my father had. He had Fats Waller and Cab Calloway and all Big Spider Beck and all these great, Bessie Smith and Lead Belly. And I listened to that, fell in love with it. I mean, a really young age. I was like 6-7 years old. And by the time I was 9 or 10, 11, I used to just, that's all, the main thing I would listen to. I mean, of course, I liked the popular music of the day. My friends listened to pop music and I enjoyed it. It was good. But I was really enamored of this early jazz. And then about my early teens, my parents sent me away to a summer camp and some of the counselors at the camp played the guitar and sang folk songs. And that's where I fell in love with folk music. So it was kind of a natural blend for me to combine the two. And that basically that's the kind of music I've played all my life, is a cross between early jazz and folk music.
Yeah, that's wild. And I read an article that you know, there wasn't Google, you know, when you were coming up. There wasn't like, I want more. And so in order to feed like this appetite, like you had to go to the Library of Congress to find music. Like it wasn't just as simple as like, well, just go online and grab everything from the 1920s. So it was a challenge, I imagine, back then.
It was. And there were three or four different ways to track down good old songs, which is what I've been doing my entire life. There were some reissues on vinyl of the old records, you know, like the Harry Smith Anthology of American Folk Music.
Sure.
Full of great, great traditional stuff. But also I knew and ran into and was told about people around the country who had fabulous record collections. And I used to go visit them and I'd carry my little Wallensack tape recorder And anytime they played me a song that I thought, well, I mean, I'd like to be able to play that song. So I recorded. I mean, it was a terrible fidelity, but it was enough for me to learn the chords and the words. So there were so many different ways to track down. And then, like, I asked to go to libraries, especially the Library of Congress, because they had the whole Alan Lomax collection.
All the archives, yeah.
That he recorded going around the country, recording just regular folks who played music, mostly in the rural South and in penitentiaries.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of ways to do it, but you had to work at it.
This is World Cafe. We are here with Jim Kweskin. Jim Kweskin and the Berlin Hall Saturday Night Review. The new album is Doing Things Right. It's available now. I am Kaleo. I have a couple more questions about the Jug Band, if you are willing to humor me.
Of course.
We talked a little bit about educating yourself on the music by basically going back through, you know, like history and or going back through the music that was at the time a couple of decades old. How did you find a group of people that, you know, sort of shared that camaraderie around music that wasn't contemporary or popular at the time, particularly among young people, where most people who are young are fixated on what's new, what's next, what's now?
Well, unfortunately for me, when I was coming up trying to become a professional musician, or at least trying to get some gigs, and I was playing in love with that music that I just described, folk music was popular in the country, and it was on the radio, and it was in, you know, the people were listening to the Kingston Trio and Peter, Paul and Mary and Joan Baez and all that. It had become, you know, and many other were folk acts. So there was a popularity of old music. Those days, you know, the definition of folk music has changed over the years. Used to be folk music was songs that had been around for decades or centuries. It was sung by the folks, and that's why it's called folk music. And it wasn't until, well, it started with Woody Guthrie, but really it wasn't until Bob Dylan and Phil Oakes and Tom Paxton that singer-songwriters became the definition of folk music.
Right.
So, folk music as a, you know, so there were these guys and people like Judy Collins and Theodore Bakel, Pete Seeger, of course, was the main guy. They were all doing old songs. They were called folk songs. And they learned them from Woody and Leadbelly and so many other great early artists. And so to me, I was fortunate because I wanted to play these old songs, and there were lots of people around playing them. They weren't playing the jazzy kind like I wanted to do, but I did run into some people like my friend Jeff Muldor, who was a great blues singer, and Maria D'Amato, who married Jeff and became Maria Muldor, and Mel Lyman on the harmonica. He loved these old songs, and so it was just an organic thing that guided me in that direction. And I was fortunate enough so that my band was popular, even though we weren't playing songs that anybody had ever heard before, or they weren't popular on the radio, because popular folk music was popular.
Right.
And then I just have continued it on ever since.
Yeah. Do you feel like that, especially now at this point of your career, there is a preservationist sort of keeping the tradition alive? Is that in a way that maybe when you're younger, you're not necessarily as concerned about, but having spent a lifetime with these songs and caring about them and nurturing them and giving them to people to listen to, like, is that important to you, the preservation aspect of it?
It is, but not in the sense of, you know, an intellectual sense. It's, to me, it's like, I find a song, I think it's a great song, and I want people to hear it. It's that simple.
Okay, with a song like Viper Mad.
Right, well, I'd known that song as recorded by Sidney Bechet and his group in the, I think it was the early 30s. They did it up-tempo. And then a few years ago, I heard a group called the Busted Jug Band, who are I think that's the name of the group. Anyway, they recorded a slow version of it, and I thought it sounded great. They did a great version of it. And so I thought, well, let's do that song. I mean, it was a fun song.
Let's take a listen. It's Jim Kweskin and the Berlin Hall Saturday Night Review featuring Samoa Wilson, Viper Mad.
Just Viper Mad.
Just Viper Mad.
I must have my fun.
Must have my fun.
I'm never sad.
I'm never sad.
It can't be done.
It can't be done.
All the people are talking.
The people are talking.
You know I don't care.
I don't care.
I'm 21, far from done. I've just begun. Wrap your lips.
Wrap your lips.
Round this stick of tea.
Round this stick
Come
of tea.
Come on and blow this gauge.
Blow this gauge.
Let's all get high with me.
Get high with me.
Good tea is my weakness.
Good tea is my weakness.
They tell me it's bad.
I know it's bad.
But it sends me gay.
And I can't wait.
I'm Viper Mad.
Earlier this year, our show did a story on Club Fassim in Boston, legendary folk venue, and your name and the jug band are mentioned in the same vein as Bob Dylan and Joan Baez. And it was a very special time in Boston around that around that moment. And you had a front row seat to it. What do you think was in the water that sort of led to this kind of like era in Boston in folk music?
Well, there's something about folk music that people, you know, many people are attracted to. It's storytelling. It's got a beautiful feeling to it. It's emotional. It's historical. It's traditional, but it's appealing, and they tell honest stories that people want to hear, and. I don't know. It's really hard to say what makes anybody like anything.
Yeah.
But there are, just for an example, you may not even know this, but there are hundreds, literally hundreds of jug bands performing in the United States as we speak. It's just a kind of, and there's bluegrass. There's thousands of bluegrass bands. And they don't make it on the radio. They're not popular. They're not, bluegrass has its niche. It's people that love it. Folk music, there's many, many, many people who love it, and all over the world. I mean, I went to Japan, and they were huge groups of fans that loved jug band music, and there were even Japanese jug band. There's a Japanese jug band festival in Yokohama every year. So, you know, it's just what makes somebody like something? I don't know if you can even explain it. It's just something that clicks inside of you.
Okay, so you, like you said, we don't know why people necessarily like something or gravitate towards something. But, you know, your jug band, like, was name-checked by Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, by Love and Spoonful, even the Grateful Dead, in terms of being an influence or being something that they looked to or were
They started out as a jug band.
The Dead.
They did. They had the Mother McCree Jug Stompers because they heard our first record and fell in love with jug band music. And Jerry Garcia and Mike Weir formed a jug band, and that jug band morphed into the Grateful Dead.
Just that simple, huh? But I mean, like, I don't know. If I was someone who was partially responsible for that, I would want to take credit for it.
Well, I was influenced by the people before me. You know, that's just the way it goes. You know, the generation before me taught me stuff, and so the generation after me, you know, they just, we all follow in each other's footsteps. I don't know if I take credit for it. I'm happy that it happened.
This is World Cafe. I'm Kaleo, joined by Jim Kweskin. The new album is available now, Jim Kweskin and the Berlin Hall Saturday Night Review, Doing Things Right. So, okay, 7-year-old me would be very upset with 46-year-old me if I did not ask you about how you recorded a song for Sesame Street, a song that I obviously, along with millions of other children, have memorized in our heads.
Ladybug's Picnic.
Yeah.
The number 12.
All the time. I mean, how do you think I learned how to count to 12? Jim, I was in trouble when we got to whatever comes after 12. But no, can you walk me through how you ended up doing that?
Yeah, the people from at those days, they were in San Francisco. They were known as the Children's Television Workshop, I think it was. And they were the people who put together Sesame Street, you know, with Jim Henson and all that crew. They just asked me. They had two songs they wanted me to record, the number 10 and the number 12, and I did. I recorded them both, and they end up using my recording of the number 10, number 12, it's probably played a couple of 100,000 times and for kids, you know, growing up. This was in the 70s.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Has anyone ever connected the dots and come up to you at a show and said, like, I loved that as a kid?
No, because, you know, most people don't know it's me because it doesn't say anywhere who's doing it. You know, I didn't, you know, my name isn't mentioned anywhere. So, but, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, Ladybugs came to the Ladybugs picnic, you know.
They played jump rope, but the rope, it broke. So they just sat around telling knock, knock jokes. The Ladybugs 12 at the Ladybugs picnic. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and they chatted away at the Ladybugs picnic.
You're just joining us. This is World Cafe. We're talking with Jim Kweskin. One lighthearted question, one serious question before we leave. You know, I heard you commenting about a complete unknown saying, no, the story didn't go that way because you were there, and you've been there at a lot of cool seminal moments over your life. Is there one that makes you stand, that makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up and go, wow, I can't believe I did that, or wow, I was there when that happened?
Well, you know, at the Newport Folk Festival, which was totally different than the way it is now, you know, people may not realize that, but in the days in the 60s when they had the Newport Folk Festival, we all played there. Everybody got paid $50. $50. Everybody. Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Jim Kweskin, Mississippi John Hurt, Clarence Ashley, Doc Watson, clog dancers from Alabama or Kentucky or wherever they were. Everybody got paid $50. And the reason we were all there was not to make money, was because we wanted to, it was a community of shared love of the music. And we wanted to hear each other and meet each other and see each other and have an audience that loved the kind of music we loved. So that was, to me, Pete Seeger started, and Pete Seeger and George Wein and a few other people. And it was, you know, grew out of the jazz festival, but it wasn't, we weren't there for the money. And to me, that aspect of life has changed drastically, because you couldn't get anybody to pay the Newport Folk Festival for $50 now. That's not why they're there. They want to get as much money as possible, and the people who run it want to draw as many people in the seats as possible. Yeah. And it's a whole different feeling. It's not a community. It may be a great festival, but it doesn't have that feeling of community.
Wow.
I mean, you have this guy from South Africa who played the flute named Spokes Mashiani. Nobody ever heard of him. He got $50, you know, but, you know, Paul Butterfield got $50, you know, Muddy Waters got $50, you know, and it was just the way it was. And we loved it.
All right. Last question. And this is going to go for a soundbite because, you know, we're setting up the jug band. There are probably some kids out there that literally think playing a jug is hitting it against the wall. How does one properly play a jug?
Well, you have to make it. Actually, the jug, all the jug does is resonate the sound. It's a sound you make with your lips. And, you know, I can't do it. I didn't play the jug. We had a guy, great jug player by the name of Fritz Richmond. And there are many jug players around and were back then. It's a bass instrument. It kind of takes the place of the tuba in an old band, you know, or a bass. You get that low sound. All the jug does is resonate that particular sound that you make with your mouth.
Let's hear it in action. Here's jug band music performed by Jim Queskin and the Jug Band with Maria Moldar.
Way down South Memphis, Tennessee, jug band music sounds so sweet to me, 'cause it sounds so sweet. Ah, it's hard to beat. Jug band music certainly was a treat to me. I was with my gal, put my hand on her knee. Said, if you can't play the jug, you can't play with me, 'cause it sounds so sweet. It's hard to beat. Jug band music certainly was a treat to me. Jug band music made me stomp down my floor, 'cause it sounds so sweet. Oh, it's hard to beat. Jug band music certainly was a treat to me. Then I took off my socks, I took off my shoes.
Jug band music, Jim Queskin and the Jug Band. Jim's new album is out now. It is called Doing Things Right, playing with the Berlin Hall Saturday Night Review. Jim, this has been an absolute blast.
Thank you,
Stephen. Very insightful, very informative. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Stephen.
We're back in a minute with more World Cafe. Thank you. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. Thanks again to Jim Queskin. Jim Queskin's latest album, Doing Things Right with the Berlin Hall Saturday Night Review Band, is available now. Hat tip to our producer, Miguel Perez, for his work on the session. A couple of bands that were influenced by the work of Mr. Queskin, particularly the Jim Queskin Jug Band. Starting with Janis Joplin. Here's Crybaby.
Come on! I was standing by my window on one cold and cloudy day, when I saw that hearse come rolling for to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better all awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
I said to that undertaker, undertaker, please drive slow, for this lady
mind. Whoa, oh, all I want to know. choice, my friends. Better take my advice. You know all the rules by now and the fire from the ice. Will you come with me? Won't you come with me? Oh, oh, what I want to know. Will you come with me? Come here, I declare. Have you seen the light? Their walls are built of cannonballs. Their motto is don't tread on me. Come here, Uncle John's bed. Playing to the tide. Come with me or go alone. He's come to take his children home. It's the same story the crow told. It's the only one. Like the morning sun you come, and like the wind you go. Ain't no time to hate, barely time to wait. Whoa, oh, what I want to know, where does the time go? I live in a silver mine, and I call it Beggar's Tomb. A violin, and I beg you call the tune. Anybody's choice. I can hear your voice. Oh, oh, what I want to know. How does the song go? Come here, Uncle John's band, by the riverside. Some things to talk about here beside the rising tide. Come here, Uncle John's band, playing to the tide. Come on along or go alone. He's come to take his children home. Some things to talk about here beside the rising tide. Come here, Uncle John's band, playing to the tide. Come on along and go alone. He's come to take his children home.
Pretty cool set featuring Grateful Dead, Uncle John's band, also Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, originally from Long Beach. Will the Circle Be Unbroken? And Janis Joplin with Crybaby. Stay close. We've got new music on the way from Patty Griffin on World Cafe. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. On YouTube and Instagram at World Cafe, a great place to see interview clips and highlights. And of course, on YouTube, you can see full video performances and interview segments. Like I said, at World Cafe on YouTube and Instagram. Patty Griffin, first new album in over 6 years, due out Friday, July 25th. It's her 11th studio album called Crown of Roses. Here's new music, Back at the Start.
Secrets I don't sell ever to myself, I just keep moving. It's like working on a building with my eyes closed, nothing's improving. Day after day I stood in my own way in front of my own door. Some things push you around so far, knock you down so hard, it's hard to get up anymore. If you can't feel your heart, you might lose everything. Spend years in the dark, but it isn't the end. You're just back at the start. All these endless skies of blue, baby, it's just you and all the umpires. Hoping nobody will notice that you don't know what you're doing. Still, you're getting tired. It's lonely in the outfield, but the bar won't come to you, and so you're safe for now. So you won't get to play, but that's okay, because you pray, you just get rained out. Coming up and the rehearsal is over. Maybe nothing says it seems. The crowd is moving all the time, just like you're drunk but you're sober. Day after day you feel you let it slip away, but it was never very far. Don't wanna stand on ground that's shaking, but the earth is always quaking, making buildings and tearing them apart. Here's the thing that I've known from the start. It told me to think, if you can't feel your heart, you might lose everything. Spend years in the dark, but it isn't the end. You're just back.
Ain't nobody else like me around.
One of the greatest guitar players of the 21st century, Gary Clark Jr., ain't messing around. I love that he picks up random instruments, just learning how to master them. When I talked to him last, it was the bagpipes. He didn't get very far at it. Before Gary Clark Jr., Patti Griffin, Back at the Start. Her new album is due out July 25th, and that about does it for us here on The Cafe. I want to thank our affiliates nationwide who make this show possible. And we make this program from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Kaleo. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future. And by the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo. Back in 2015, the British DJ and producer Sophie put out her debut album, Product. It was the seminal record when it came to the world of hyperpop.